Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Kindly advise steps to inculcate awareness of Allah Ta'ala and love for Salah in Maktab students.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. One of the greater reasons for being distracted, one is lack and deficiency of love. Number two is the lack and the deficiency of azmat and respect. You see, when the law has to say reduce speed, right? And you see police officers on the road. So, without batting an eye, it is reduce the speed. What's the reason? You've got a respect for the law. Because you know that if you contravene the law, what will be the consequence? And you know that it's just an ordinary police, but he's supported by the entire state. So you hold him in some respect, and because of the respect that you hold him in, so you want to obey, you don't want to go against the law. And the other, what our elders explain about, is that the lack and the deficiency of love. When there is a marriage, there is muhabbat within the spouses, and each wants to do for the marriage. Because he understands that how much it means to him. The smile on the face, the warm welcome, the embrace, the well-kept home, the preparation, the difficulty that she goes through. So on account of that, you have a lot of respect. And when there's love, then love has got certain duties. Then you want to carry those duties out because of the intensity of the love. So what we need to work on is azmat and muhabbat, to understand the greatness and to intensify the love. Once this is worked on, then things go well. But if there is a deficiency in one of these two, then you may think, oh, let's fix this up. So it may be a temporary fix-up. It is suppressing the symptoms, but it's not a lasting thing. Like in the madrasa, for example, they'll know that madrasa is a madrasa requirement. So they fear the consequence, they will comply. But then this is just a temporary measure. The permanent measure is to create some love into the child's heart. So when the love is created, whether he is in the madrasa or is out of the madrasa, he still feels that I need to see and I need to ensure that I'm getting the first takbir. Right? He's got a relationship with the sheikh and he's got some respect for the sheikh, and the sheikh is very particular about wrong uses of the eyes and the tongue. So in his absence or in his presence, you've got to be very careful, because the sheikh is very, very particular about these two things. So this respect and love. Once you've got these two in place, you know, when they talk about love, the love is blind. You don't ask questions after that. You ask questions. You're coming after 4 months in Jamaat, and you're coming after 4 months. So before you can arrive, you tell the florist, see that bouquet of flowers is 5,000 rand, see that it's precious to the house. So you won't ask these questions, you know, this bouquet of flowers looks nice, the rose or whatever, but it's just a 1 week job. After 1 week it has to be thrown. You don't talk about that. Why? You understand love is blind. Love will just make you do it. So these ways how to enhance love. Just learn ways to enhance love. Once you've learnt it, and the love is seated in the heart, then you can't break. Love is such. Once it's even Hercules asked Abu Sufyan, do you find anybody after accepting the faith turning to apostasy? He says, no. Anybody after accepting the faith turning to apostasy, because sukhtatan lahu, because he's not happy with Islam. So no. If they turned away, it was not because they were dissatisfied with Islam, but because of greed or because of some worldly attraction. Otherwise, as Islam, you don't find that person turning away because of some type of reservation or some type of dislike for Islam. So he also says it, when that thing goes into the depths of the heart, then it's a simple thing. Now you ask the person, why do you disturb your sleep, get up at 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock in the morning, right to Fajr and after? So he'll tell you, by you didn't understand love. You don't know the sweetness. Tune muhabbat ka chaska hasil nahi kiya. You didn't get the taste of love. When you didn't get the taste of love, therefore you ask these questions. But when you got the taste of love, then ask the person who's on drugs, right? And what did you want to do just to service his habit? You have to ask him. You sell his father's expensive car, half a million car, for 10,000 naira just to service his addiction. You know that. So it's just a matter of creating the love. Once you create that love, then everything is easy. One of the ways that that love comes in nowadays is zikr. Because there is a deficiency of sincerity, and the thing that enhances the sincerity is the kalima, reciting the kalima in abundance. And for Allah's sake, do it to the family, and do it at the good time of the day or the night, not the kachra time. Just before you sleep, they make some zikr, and like a formality. But at a time that is valuable in your time, in your own schedule, at that time you dedicate for the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. Think about His favors, think about His bounties, what He's done for you, right? And then when you think about it, you cry out of your inability to show that type of gratitude. Allah Pak wanted, you could have been one of those drug dens. If Allah Pak wanted, you could have been womanizing. If He wanted, you could have been just worried about money going in the chakkar, right? If He wanted, you could have been a Satanist, right? You could have been some terrible thing. But He saved you from all these vices, this place of embarrassment and disgrace, brought you to His house, gave you iman, and then when He blessed you with iman, then what type of appreciation you are expected to show?
Despite the du'as, tilawat, kunut and nazilah for Muslims suffering around the globe, especially Palestine, there is an outward delay in the help of Allah Ta'ala. What can be the cause for this delay?
The answer is in the mind. But how many of you all promise that we will try our best to apply? How many of you all try our best to put into place? See, the Quran Sharif will explain crisis and solutions. Crisis and solutions. It will not show you just the crisis, because then that's half the job. I must show you the problem, and I must show you solutions. So sometimes Allah Ta'ala shows you the solution directly. Sometimes Allah Ta'ala will relate the stories of the Anbiya of the past. Right? And then, فَعْتَبِيرُ, what He wants you to take a lesson from this. فَعْتَبِيرُ, they are giving you a story not to entertain you and not to excite you, not to thrill you. Why are we giving it? فَعْتَبِيرُ, that you must take a lesson out of it. So now, the incidence of Musa alayhi salam is repeated approximately 28 or 29 times in the Quran Sharif. Nearly every spot has got it. So, Allah Ta'ala wasn't entertaining us. He was entertaining us, then one time was finished, right? We didn't need to listen to the story again. Here he's repeating the story 28 or 29 times. And many times in somewhat delay with the whole detail, right? So now, the people of Musa alayhi salam, they complain, Uzina min qabli an ta'tiyana وَمِن بَعْدِ مَا جِئْتَنَا. Musa alayhi salam, we had always had trouble. Before you could come to us, we had trouble, because one of the Egyptians saw a dream that a fire is coming out from the houses of the Israelites and eating up all the Egyptians. So they interpreted the dream that there will be a leader that will destroy us. So what should be done? So what you do is, يُزَبِّحُونَ أَبْنَاءَكُمْ وَيَسْتَحْيُونَ نِسَاءَكُمْ. You put away all their children, you know, males, you put them away, and we will spare the women, right? Women, we need them for our work, etc., so we'll keep them, and they can't be leaders. So they are not a threat, but we'll put these people away. So they started that. Now imagine what horror, what terror they were going through. Child has just come out into the earth, sinless, absolute innocent, and there is just chopped into half in front of the mother. Can you imagine the terror, the horror, and what type of crime it was? All that was over, right? Then after this, when there was a contest between Musa alayhi salam and those sorcerers, right? Again, at that time, Pharaoh saw that he lost, and he lost miserably, embarrassingly, because the instrument that he called for his defense, they betrayed him at the most crucial moment. At the 11th hour, they just let him down. They went, Amanna bi Rabbil Alameen, Rabbi Musa wa Harun. Right? They went, came in the beginning of the day with the worst crime on their heads, challenging a Nabi of the time. It's a small crime. Can't think of a crime worse than that. But before the end of the day, they fell down in sajda, Amanna bi Rabbil Alameen. We bow down. And we know that this is not sorcery. Because we are in sorcery. From birth we are in sorcery. We know about it. So this is not sorcery. This is divine. So now Pharaoh understands that this is capsizing his whole cabinet. Now, a politician, his greatest concern, what is his greatest concern? His position. So he knows now that whole thing is going to change. Instead of it working for him, it's going to work against him. So they said, you know, they complained, أَتَذَرُوا مُوسَى وَقَوْمَهُ لِيُفْسِدُوا. And you leave them to do all this mischief, right? So Pharaoh said again, for the second time again, he said, نُقَتِّلُوا أَبْنَاءَهُمْ. We'll put away their children and we'll spare their women, right? So therefore they said, the Israelites said, we have problems always. Before you could come and even after you came, we thought everything would be cleared now. Now we're coming through this crisis for the second time. The innocent children are being put away. Our women are kept for hard labor. So we hadn't have any joy. So now, imagine what crisis they're going through compared with the Palestine issue, right? So what was Musa alayhi salam's response? Obviously he's a Nabi of Allah Ta'ala. And he's getting directions straight from Allah Ta'ala. Is no speculation. We can be speculating, we can be guessing, right? We can be right, we can be wrong. But what will come to a Nabi, will come from Allah Ta'ala, is no speculation, is absolutely clear, and that's the line to take. So Musa is going to tell them two things. One is, Asa Rabbukum ayyuhunika adubakum. Shortly, Allah Ta'ala will destroy your enemy, right? وَيَسْتَخْلِفَكُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. And he'll appoint you as leaders. Right? But he doesn't stop there. فَيَنْزُورَ كَيْفَ تَعْمَلُونَ. Are you crying about all the tyranny, the horror, the oppression, all that you're crying? Just now, you will replace them. But by Allah Ta'ala, there is no such a thing as relationship. There's no pali-pal. There's no such a thing. It's about your behavior and your action. فَيَنْزُورَ كَيْفَ تَعْمَلُونَ. Allah Ta'ala is going to see your behavior. You're complaining about them. We'll displace them, and you will replace them. But you're going to see. That was one thing, right? So one was the good news that just now the thing will happen. But for the meanwhile, what you're supposed to be doing? So, meanwhile, it says, إِسْتَعِينُوا بِاللَّهِ وَاسْبِرُوا. What? One is you cry to Allah Ta'ala, make dua. Make dua crying to Allah Ta'ala. Now, let's be truthful to ourselves. When we hear this crisis, how many hours went in seeing and viewing and discussing? And how many hours went in us pleading to Allah Ta'ala, that command that was directed to us? Are we fair in that? Or are we guilty? Are we grossly guilty? Ask yourself. I don't need to find out exactly, but ask yourself, are we guilty of this, or we are faithful to Allah? I'll be saying, Istaeenu Billah. Big Allah Ta'ala's assistance. Allah has not gone anywhere. So are we doing this? Istaeenu Billah. The second command was biru. Sabr can have multiple meanings. One is persevere. One is be constant in the good works. Refrain from wrong. And remain firm. Right? So that's the second command. Remain firm. Don't you waver. No matter what, who says, right? Now, you're going to take an in-between line now and be friends with this one here and be friends with this one. So Allah Pak doesn't want that type of a relationship. Because Allah Pak warns, فَتَرَى الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٌ يُسَارِعُونَ فِيهِمْ يَقُولُونَ نَخْشَىٰ أَن تُصِيبَنَا دَائِرَةٌ. This is Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul, the head of the Munafiqeen. So he used to be playing a balancing act, going this side, that side, coming for namaz also, and going with the Jews as well. Both sides he was playing it. And he would say that يُسَارِعُونَ فِيهِمْ. He would say, you know, I'm an intelligent person. I see the change of events. I can see times. Right? So if things don't work out for Islam, then my roads to the Jews are still open because I was cutting favor with them. I'm cutting favor with them. So being problems here, so my roads to them are open. In the meanwhile, my roads to the Muslims are open also because I come for namaz. So both sides are playing it. So Allah is saying, be firm. In your ways, don't have this balancing act. The balancing act, what happens? It works for a short while. After that, then people become suspicious on which side is this person. And you don't blame them because you bring a double role, a double cross, this side and that side. So you don't blame them for having this type of reservations. You playing that type of a role, so people will have that type of reservation and suspicion about you. Intention may be good, but outwardly how does it appear? Istaeenu billahi wasbiru, right? Remain constant, remain firm. Number three is this, إِنَّ الْأَرْضَ لِلَّهِ يُورِثُهَا مَنْ يَشَاءُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ, right? So here, this is an address to our iman. Allah is saying, the land belongs to me, I will give it to who I want. See, like how the landlord is saying, you're complaining about a certain tenant, right? So Allah says, this belongs to me, I will evacuate him, I will take him out. It belongs to me. So Allah is saying to you, but it belongs to me. I can take them. I can give them marching orders. From now I can give them. Don't you have the yaqeen in me? The yaqeen must be in Allah Ta'ala. But then, what is the base for the decision of Allah Ta'ala? The base for the decision of Allah Ta'ala is, وَالْعَقِبَةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. That good results, favorable results are for taqwa. If you got the taqwa, things will work out for you. And you don't have the taqwa, then what's the need to give this land to you? You don't have the taqwa, you're behaving like them, you've got Westernism, you've got ignorance, you've got everything in you, so what's the need to give it to you? So that's why Allah says in Surah Muhammad, فَلَعَسَيْتُمْ إِن تَوَلَّيْتُمْ أَن تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Right? The leader is chosen from the community, right? From people, right? Isn't it? Right? But if the people are corrupt, then what would be the position of the leader? He'll also be corrupt. فَلَعَسَيْتُمْ إِن تَوَلَّيْتُمْ. When you are corrupt, right, and a leader is being elected, then he will spread corruption. أَلْعَسَيْتُمْ إِن تَوَلَّيْتُمْ أَن تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ, right? And you don't need any lengthy bayan on this thing here. Look at the Muslim lands today, right? Many of them you can see, closing your eyes, they are more westernized than Western countries. More westernized, the evil, the indecency, the corruption that is there, is worse than even in Western countries. You feel ashamed. Don't you feel ashamed? So now, under the circumstance, we give you the land to rule. So what you get? You get some good land and some food. But you are more corrupt than these people. So how serious this offense is, right? See, understand the offense, right? You open up a brothel, right? Someone opened a brothel, an escort agency, a brothel, bar, a place for all druggers, robbers, you got that all settled up. And the person who opened it up, he opened it up in your name. Okay, this is Morana so-and-so's place, brothel, womanizing, prostitution, drugging. Whose name? It's your name. How do you take it? Does it go well? So when you're talking of an Islamic state, then you are talking of the state of Allah Ta'ala. What? Whose state is it? You're talking about the land of Allah Ta'ala. Now, in the name of Allah Ta'ala, all this corruption goes on, then how must Allah Ta'ala take it? You feel so embarrassed that in your name, all this thing is going, right? You feel so upset about it. Now, all this corruption goes in the name of Allah Ta'ala, then how must Allah Ta'ala take it? Is it a complete plan, half a plan? So we're not opposing anybody. Anybody boycotting, we're not stopping. Do what you want. But this is the original plan, the design of Allah Ta'ala. What you're doing is just suppressing the symptoms for a short period. It may come again. See, you have Sham and then it's coming up again. Afghanistan coming up, Bosnia coming up, right? But then Apretni Sudarta, right? We're not coming right. Getting a stick here and same thing again. Getting a stick again and something else again coming. It's coming up all the time. But why is it coming up? Because we are correcting ourselves. So now, the last thing is this, that the wrong, is it done individually or collectively? See? Is the wrong done individually or collectively? The wrong is done collectively, so you need to combat the wrong collectively as well. So I won't ask Mawlana Qazi because he'll give me one-sided answer. I'll ask Rafiq Bhai, right? Rafiq Bhai now, under the circumstance, right? Under the circumstance, what is the most effective collective effort to get things right? You know, internationally, globally. See? Collective effort, why? See? Tabligh Jamaat. Someone may have his reservation. I'm also more can't come in, right? But the truth is the truth, right? You need a collective effort to combat a collective evil. You know, one, two people are doing wrong, so individually you can go and correct them. But it's a collective effort now. You hardly have a year of the problem just settling here, something comes up that side. Hardly finishes that side, something comes up again. So what's required then? Is it just an individual effort or a collective? We don't say that this individual effort is not required. We don't say it's not a need. Right? Proportionate to the wrong is the solution, right? Like you see in medicine, if there are, say, 1,000 doctors, there will be perhaps 50 specialists, right? That proportion. There's a greater need for the GP and a smaller need for the specialist. Now, you will not say that the specialist is not required. He's also required. But emergency, what are you going to do? So all our only GPs, they didn't train to become specialists. Can they find solutions? So you need them, but proportionately. See, the proportion 1,000 to 50. So the specialist like a khanqa or a madrasa for advanced studies, that's also required, but this is a collective effort going across the board. Is it a satisfactory answer or is anything, any side of the answer left out? Ji? Ji? Tahir sahab, let's go. See? Answer everything. Then you'll make amal then. Inshallah.
I have started homeschooling my 5-year-old this year. Alhamdulillah, it's going well, but I have this doubt that I'm depriving my child of school. And how do I overcome this doubt? Sometimes I feel that I'm being too strict by not allowing her to go to school.
Some things are stopped. Although there may be some element of good, right? But the person that is wise is an adult, is grown up, right? He's got a sight, he's got a vision. Right? I'm taking this child on this lane, and just now, he's 5 now, disciples 15 and 17, and what's going to be the end of this child. Well, a few months ago, right? So the people that were involved came and told me personally, right? So they sent the person for advanced studies, who was like super intelligent, right? Was in words, taking all the numbers. So not mentioning the name and the person. But now for about 1 or 2 years, there was no correspondence. He's not phoning home. So the families got a little bit suspicious. They went up, they drove up to Johannesburg, got into his flat somehow, and somehow they were hacked into his computer. He's a pure LG. Rejected Islam. So, you take him up this way, right, just for the material security, but he lost his iman, so that iman is not an important thing. Alright, we don't say there is no fayda in this, right, material security, he needs something. But not at the expense of his iman. Because that material security will be for a few days. A little bit of respect you get, a little bit of money you get, right? After that, he's lost his iman. Then what? Someone is telling me last week, I won't mention the name, super wealthy, super intelligent, but no namaz, not Juma, nothing. One. So, super wealthy, super intelligent, super studied, everything. And then after some time, this is the result. Can you see that? And this is not happening just to men. Men and women going same way. But because these things don't come to the public attention, so we just ignore it. We say, no, it's just an isolated case. But the abundance of the cases is not funny at all. Right? Well, some stats I will just tell you in a very, very ambiguous way, right? So there are some Islamic schools, right? Some popular Islamic schools. The girls themselves acknowledged, they confessed that we, in this grade, right, we are at least about 200. But every one of us have gone to a sexual experience. So very good now, 5 years, people are embarrassed. And worse than that, what Mona read, right, that girl feels out of place if she didn't go to that experience. So they are brazen about that wrong. That attracts the punishment of Allah. You're doing a wrong, right, you're singing stars. Here you are brazenly doing it, and you will feel like an odd person if you didn't go through it. Now this is a confession of the girl who went through it. The whole class. So, here, maybe you won't get the full loaf, you'll get the half loaf, but the iman is safe, the akhirat is safe, the mind is safe. And Allah wants you to observe taqwa. When you observe taqwa, He says, I'll take care of you. فَلَنُحْيَنَّوْ حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا. You're going to be righteous, we'll guarantee you a pleasant life. So, can there be anything greater than the promise of Allah?
A few questions with a similar topic, that we have a crush on a girl, how do we get her out of our mind?
Crush. ये तो लड़की की बात कर रहे हैं. Talking about crush on a girl. Today's email was South African girl. She's saying, when I go to the haram, you know, and the Arabs say they are so beautiful, I can't just get over it. She got a crush on a man. So it makes you think, now what are you going for? There's no preparation made. See, when you're going to this place here, then please, for Allah's sake, learn taqwa, learn adab, learn how to behave yourselves. Otherwise, the woman is saying, I can't control this, I can't resist the temptation. You see that? So, there are ways to resist the temptation. If there is a problem in this world, then Allah creates a solution. Ma unzila da'un illa lahu dawa'un. If there's a problem, then there's a cure as well. But one of the most effective thing is to seriously think about the loneliness of the grave. She just go in the Kabristan sometimes. This Motaya was so wealthy, he was so popular, he was so whatever, right? And where is he now? Right? He is boxed up from all sides. There's no access to anything. You know, life, what it wants expression, it wants access, isn't it? Life, what it wants. Enjoyment, what it wants. Expression, you can express yourself. Your feelings, your emotions, you can express. And you want access, food, comfort, etc. These are two things that you want. But look at that cover, you are blocked up from all sides. Right? But then that same cover becomes a palace, it becomes a garden, beautiful than more beautiful than beauty, lovelier than lovely, more comfortable than comfortable, for that person who has got taqwa. وَتَزَوَّدُوا فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَى. The best provision is taqwa. Taqwa is to leave out prohibitions and areas of doubt. So is it a difficult thing? Prohibitions and areas of doubt, leave it out.
There is an alim that is using this ayat of the Quran Sharif to say that there is no azab in the qabr. The ayat is قَالُوا مَنْ بَعَثَنَا مِنْ مَرْقَدِنَا. Is there any ayat in the Quran that shows that there is azab in the qabr?
There are several ayats that show the azab of the qabr. Right. وَلَوْ تَرَى إِذِ الظَّالِمُونَ فِي غَمَرَاتِ الْمَوْتِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ بَاسِتُوا أَيْدِيهِمْ. When these zalims will be in the jaws of death, and the malaika will be twisting them. أَخْرِجُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Now, just pull out your souls. اليوم, today, we're going to fix you up today. So is that now for the next realm, or for the akhirat, or for now immediately? اليوم تجزون عذاب الهون. Again, in Surah Nuh, right? So Allah says about the people of Nuh, أغرقوا فأدخلوا نارا مما خطيئاتهم أغرقوا فأدخلوا نارا. On account of their wrong, they were drowned, and fa comes with taqib. Taqib means comes, with a very small interval. So they were drowned and then straight into Jahannam. أغرقوا فأدخلوا نارا. And number three, the questioning is wrong. Is there any ayat in the Quran Sharif which speaks about the azab of the grave? Ask him, is there any ayat in the Quran Sharif that says Zohar Namaz got four rakats? Anyway, so leave Zohar Namaz. Any ayat in the Quran Sharif that says that one tawaf got seven rounds? So leave tawaf now. Any ayat in the Quran Sharif that shows Makkah Sharif is in Makkah? Is there? Kaaba Sharif is in Makkah. Any ayat that's clear, that shows that Makkah Sharif is this spot here. So then, make your own Kaaba Sharif here in Spingo. There's too much of crowd going there, so let's make one Kaaba Sharif here. So, it's samji ki baat. Stupid people ask this type of questions. Because the basis is not just the Quran, then the Hadith, then the consensus of ulama, and then analysis. So, all these things I'm asking you, is there any base in the Quran Sharif? You know, around the 60s, right? I'm showing you how shallow, how hollow this type of question is. So there was a film that was supposed to be produced. So, the film was Rasool-e Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Alhamdulillah, the ulama of Mumini of Johannesburg at that time, they stood up against it. No, this is going to be blasphemy. So they stood up. There's a big court case going on, and a Muslim was supporting this. A Muslim was supporting it, must go. And he said, no, this is no blasphemy. And he turned around to say, the hadith that you are quoting, hadith is a suspect. What? Hadith is a suspect. Court case now. So the ulama in Johannesburg at that time, they stood up in defense. So that would give him a strong blow, right? They said to our conviction is this, that you don't know Islam. So no, I know Islam. He went into a rage, right? Another person, not taking his name, he went to a rage. And he went to a rage, said, you don't know Islam. So right, if you say you know Islam, then show how you perform 2 rakats of namaz. Just show us from the beginning, you know, from wudu, azan, namaz, show us how you do it. So he started washing hands, struggling. Where's the Quranic ayat for gargling the mouth? Where's the Quranic ayat for putting water in the nostrils? Right? Number two. Then, number three is now, you started Allahu Akbar, and then you read Sana, right? Where's the Quranic ayat that shows the read Sana? Where's the Quranic ayat that says the read Surah Fatiha first? So when this ulama, when they challenged them, so the judge said, really, you are a suspect, not the hadith. You are the suspect. So there was some justice in this Afrikaners at that time, right? There was some justice. You know, you are the suspect. But if you say that the hadith is a suspect, you can't go by it, then why do you apply the hadith then?
With regards to the following hadith, whoever honors a fasiq, the throne of Allah Ta'ala shudders. What is meant by honoring a fasiq?
So, one is honoring him because of his fisq. Because of the wrong that he's doing. He's coming on television now. You're a hero, our hero. So you're honoring him for what? For the right or for the wrong? You're honoring him for the wrong.
A young man with small children wishes to take a second wife. What is Hazrat Mufti Sahib's advice for him?
See, this type of Christians come many times, right? So I say, if someone is doing it out of need, I won't stop him. But all the cases that come to me, right? But 97-98% is not because of need, it's because of greed. And the proof for it is that they say we're going to get into it, right? But then there's the unfair in the distribution of time, distribution of love, and distribution of favors, right? And you get some horrible scenarios, right? This one bore all the children for him, and now this one is just for the pleasure. So this old one who bore the children, she must do the cooking for this one here. Because this one here doesn't even know how to fry an egg. So this one must do all the khidmat. So now, you know, husband, and if he has to command you to make sajda, I had to command anybody to make sajda. So all his rights he will talk about. But the fair distribution of time, love, wealth, etc., he totally ignores it. He just thinks about his own rights. I have cases, so many cases, right? So, I say they're going in for the greed, not for the need. The woman is saying, right, I'm not complaining about this, but I'm not getting my conjugal rights. All his energy is lost here, and you got no taqat this side. So is that fair now? You know, if you are fair, just, right, and you know how to maneuver yourself, avoiding all trouble and fights, not getting the children against you, then it's all right. But now you know how to distribute your time. You're not fair, right? So what happens? This man came and told me, you know, I can't manage it now. What happened? So no, each day or so, they need to give me a good face, my grandchildren. So I had to go into a BB. This is a multi-millionaire. I had to go and hook up in a BB. Each day I hold my favorite blue-eyed grandchild. How are you? So how she returned? Who are you? What do you want? Say, is that enough? Just pack it up. Old is gold.
As a father in today's time, it is almost impossible to stop my teenage children from social media. I try to prevent them from modern scholars, etc., but it seems impossible. How do you stop children from screen time nowadays?
See, you have to make up the mind that are you the boss of the house? If you are the boss of the house, your roof, then your rules. What? It's your roof, your rules. If tomorrow the child says, no, I'm going to burn down the house. So is that going to go well with the person? Wallah, this is even worse. You are just concerned about the material disaster, but the spiritual disaster that goes into this child here, you know, I was explaining to students that before Qiyamah, right, there will be a major fitna. And this is calling it a fitna to Duhayma. Yumsi mu'minan wa yusbihu kafiran. Night is going to sleep as a Muslim, but the morning is getting up as a kafir. So, think about it for some time. How will this feature, you know? We know it's a word of Nabi Sallam, it has to happen. But I can't find a better example than this social media. Reading everything and anything. In a game, I used to press a button showing that he's bowing down to an idol, he'll do it. You know, it's a game now. They're playing computer games. And now just to get to the second level, has to press a button that indicates that he's bowing down to this devil. So he'll do that as well. So can you see now to what extent this is going? That he's losing his faith, yumsi mu'minan wa yusbihu kafir. So if your house is valuable to you for a price, then is your iman, does that have a price in your life? If it has a price, you have to make your mind up. You have to seriously think now, just close the house, tell the students, see, I got a new order now, and you'll have to abide. So there's one, you know, we can't, both of these things can't coexist. Both these things can't coexist in my house. But the child says tomorrow, you know, I want to keep on idle in the house. I know of homes, right? I know of homes. Person going into a depression and keeps on idle, right? Now, you have to make up your mind that this is the house of a Muslim or a kafir. And if there's no order and system in your house, right, then you will have to succumb to these type of stupid things. But if there's some system and order in your mind, in a house, you know, hey, you have to draw a line at some point. You know, burn our house, where are you going to live? If there's no iman in that house, what's the need to live? If there's no iman. You live, why? Because of iman. And if there's no iman then, so it can't coexist. This haram, indecent behavior, wrong behavior, and Islam, they can't coexist. So you have to seriously think, what is the solution there? Tell the children, always will happen, it must happen. You can't negotiate.
Allah Ta'ala is neither male nor female. However, in the Makatib Kitabs, Allah Ta'ala is referred to as He. How do we explain this to the children in the madrasa?
This question comes up that when Allah Ta'ala speaks about Himself, then He speaks in a plural tense. Inna lanansuru rusulana wa kana haqqan alayna nasrul mu'minin. So when He speaks in the plural tense, right? So this is called royal language. What? It's called royal language, right? If, for example, if Trump is coming to South Africa, right? Right? He's coming. So he says, we're landing in South Africa on Sunday morning. It may be just one person, but what language he'll use? We. Right? So, when the word he is used, is to show authority, is to show royal language, and is to show superiority. To signify superiority. Greatness, authority. So, when you talk of something, which you talk of a woman, don't you say sissy. That's why you said word. See ya.
I heard from one Maulana that a person who rejects the incident of Isra is a kafir, and a person who rejects the incident of Mi'raj is a fasik. Please explain this.
Yeah. See, Isra is from the clear text of the Quran Sharif. Subhanallah, Asra bi Abdi. So when it's a clear text of the Quran Sharif, then the person who rejects it, then he's a kafir. Right. And if talk of Mi'raj, then it's not the clear text of the Quran Sharif. Although it's supported by authentic hadith. So the person who rejects it, he will not call him a kafir, but he is on the edge. He can lose his iman at any time. He's come right to the edge. Then a small pushover, and he's gone.
Why is it such that we show such disregard for keeping long hair, especially in the madaris, whereas this is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam?
Yeah. So, see, Umar radiallahu anhu, they saw him in the mataf, right? He had about 15 patches. Right? Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to patch his clothing as well at times. So you start patching your clothing, right? Number two, but Aisha radiallahu anhu says, months used to go, and the only food used to be dates and water. If you go on that level, inshallah, we'll allow you to keep hair as well. But I can't be selective, only hair. Getting up for tahajjud, the fajr namaz, just wait. Yeah, the man is getting up for tahajjud 3 hours, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, right? So many surahs reading, about 7, 8 siparas reading namaz. One of you all did that any night, big night or small night. So the hadith which is now sweet and attractive, you are taking that. And the one that is not attractive to you, you are leaving it out. Is that having a selective attitude or a truthful, honest attitude? Selective attitude. Then the other thing is that the hadith says, Man kana lahu sha'run, well, you cream, you got hair, and look after it. Comb it, oil it, clean the thing. Now, here, have you got the time for that? Bukhari Sharif, Imam Ibn Salaba Sadis, right? فَنَسْمَعُ دَوِيَ سَوْتِهِ رَجُلًا سَائِرَ الرَّأْسِ, right? So, Imam Ibn Salaba had come in, and his hair was disheveled. Clothing was not right? So, the commentators of the hadith says that this must be the position of a student. He's so engrossed in his work, doesn't have time to comb his hair, doesn't have time to wear good clothing, right? Yeah, you see the children now, they got clothing every second day, new clothing, and they must see it's pressed well. Show me one hadith show me, where the Sahaba Kiram used to press the clothes. Show me one hadith. See that? So all this is all selective. Kacha panai, right?
Is a woman's name Parada? Should we put a woman's name on the invitation, for example, the label, or in any invite? How come the name of Maryam alayhi salam is mentioned in the Quran Sharif?
The name of Maryam alayhi salam had to be taken in the Quran Sharif to clear the allegations that were made by the Jews. Right? They made an allegation that she was born of illegitimate stock. So then he didn't have a father, but it was a miraculous birth. Right? So the question would be then, who was the parent? So Maryam alayhi salam was the parent. Therefore, the Quran Sharif had to say it. Otherwise, there were other women also, but the Quran Sharif didn't take their names. And on the lighter side, I say, see, the influence of Islam, right, till about, from the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, till about, say, 9 or 10 centuries, Islam was prevalent, right? Ottoman Empire, and then you look at India, all that, about 9, 10 centuries was running. And after that, it started collapsing, right? But for a long time, for a long period, the influence of Islam still prevailed. Right? I'll just show you 1, 2 things to make you understand how the Islamic influence prevailed, right? See, you got a town in South Africa, you call it Harry Smith, right? And Harry's wife, they don't take a name, they call it Lady Smith. See, so, yeah, Palasa. Even they had that shame, that was an influence of the Islamic culture, right? Right? That was one example, right? In Cape Province, you got King William, right? And opposite, Queenstown. Did they mention the name of the woman? No. Then now in this last century, 20th century, all this indecent behavior started. So exposing it. Now there's no such a thing like shame. No such a thing like shame. But until then, there was a lot of shame, right? You know, when I was much younger, so one person showed me a photo of Durban, right? Woman, their dresses are coming right to the ankle. Right to the ankle. And we had a shop, right? So That time the business culture was different. So the blacks, I can remember clearly, besides material, right? Their dresses were coming to me about the shin, and thick cloth, not thin, transparent. You won't find one with the tops and the jeans. This is all the aftermath of the Islamic culture. When Islam ruled, then the culture prevailed. And when we stopped the dawah work, etc., now their influences are overwhelming us. So now, we get so many Christians coming in, is it permissible for a woman to wear tops and jeans and wear abaya above? See now, where the influence is coming. Are we influencing them, or are they influencing us? What is supposed to be, that our culture was supposed to be influencing. وَالَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ بِالْهُدَى وَدِينِ الْحَقِّ لِيُزْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ. That this Islam must prevail over everything else. Allama ibn Khaldun, it's called a kitab on tarikh, right? So he says, he's a very authentic person with regards to history, right? So he says, it's natural that people adopt the ways, the language, the culture of the ruling class. So now, internationally, right, globally, the ruling class is the West, isn't it? America, England, etc. Now, even here, you have to speak their language. The clothing we have adopted, the language you adopt, right? And you'll mark the person's intelligence according to how eloquent he is in that English language, right? He's very intelligent, but he speaks very eloquently. See how he speaks. But that's not the line, not the criterion to mark intelligence. Language and eloquence is not the mark. Because if that was the line to go by, and if someone speaks Zulu very well, then you say that, Bobhanela said, say that. He's very educated. You don't say that. Why? So that means we are suffering a complex. What? Very simple words. We are suffering a complex that we became overwhelmed with the language and their culture. Right? So now you've got a wedding and see what doesn't happen. Every English culture is practiced. You just call it an Islamic hall, so it's so and so Islamic hall. But walking the bride over the aisle, right, doesn't happen. Mixed company doesn't happen. Photographing doesn't happen. Music doesn't blast. Just calling it Islam, everything happens. Everything to respect the ruling class. I mean, swearing them, you know, boycott them and everything else. But we're buying from them, we're adopting their ways, their clothing, etc., everything of this. So, is our allegiance to Allah Ta'ala right or not right? Now, look at it, how unfair and how unfaithful, right? Look at it, right? Just think, you have to keep an open mind to see things in perspective. If you go to the American embassy with a t-shirt, right in the Abda Afghanistan, right? And behind, down the Israel, will they give you a visa? Why? See, this is only words. I am not fighting. I just call these words. But will they give you a visa? So they are so proud about themselves and their superiority, their supremacy, that even if you got just a marking, they don't want to do anything. And you know, everything goes, all right, this is the clothing. We didn't accept the Judaism or Christianity, etc. It's just marking, so what? And they are so particular about their style, their culture, their language, that something is not consistent and they will just turn you off. Does it happen or not?
My children are addicted to phones, smoking and vaping. How should I work on them to get them out of this?
That answer you give. Yes.
Next question is that I have stray thoughts coming in my mind during Salah. How do I get rid of this?
There's about four things, right? One is the problem of this age, wrong or doubtful literature, right? Any content that is doubtful or wrong. People that are not straight, they're not clear, right? Whether it's a Mawlana or not a Mawlana, but it's not clear. Says, what happens in Sham and Gaza, you must go and see yourself. You go and see, you'll find it. So what is he inviting you to? Go and see for yourself the atrocities in Gaza. So what is he inviting you to? Is it? To go and see what? Bioscope, see it. So from the member, he's inviting you, go and read this thing, go see this thing. So then won't your mind be corrupt? We're watching all these things here. Then the curiosity will have the better of you. Let's go on to this one here, let's see this one here. And with all that, there must be an advertisement coming up, something popping up, right? One very great person in Germany, you know, was a great person, right? He's a, maybe he's a great grandfather. But he saw me many years ago. Many, many years ago. So he sees me for my work. I'm a professional person, so my work I have to get into some computer program, right? And something just popped up. And my eyes just peeped out. So it's a pop peep, right? Peep pop. And then now I saw a photo of a naked woman. Now, on the mimbar you're saying that when see the sights, what's happening here. And Khuda na khasta, Allah Ta'ala forbid, if that person's heart got hooked up with that photo, then who's to be blamed? It's short-sightedness. It's corrupt thinking, short-sightedness, you know, quick results. It's all corrupt. So those areas of suspicions and all, and it's happening in the masjid. Ulama are sitting in those programs, and nobody is batting an eye. It's like an accepted norm. Go and see this thing here. I know when this thing is television, right, it hit our shores around the 70s, right? All the ulama are saying that this is a shaitan box. All the shaitan box, everybody was watching. And from the minbar, you're inviting them to go and watch this thing here. Now this professional man says, tells me, that I had no intention to see that girl. But now I'm going into sajda and I'm seeing that girl before me clearly. Now see how truthful that. I like this truth, although he's an educated person. So now I'm afraid that if my soul is coming out and the photo of this evil woman, right, comes, where iman ka kya hoga? See, this is honesty. Honesty appeals and attracts everybody. But dishonesty, no, we're not so serious about it. There's a today's culture now, you can't avoid these things here. Carry on, that you mislead that person. Addallu al khayri kafa'ili. Man sanna sunnatan hasanatan wa sunnatan sayyatan. You're going to bear the brunt. Alim or no alim. But you inviting that person to go and see this thing here, it catches his heart. Then he got stuck in his heart. Who's going to be assuming that blame? Who? You invited him. Man sanna sunnatan. And Addallu al khayr. Who invited? You invited the person. The curiosity had the better of him. He went and seen that photo was stuck in his heart and he can't delete that photo. Who's responsible?
I suffer from neck pain. When I go to a male physiotherapist, it does not come right. But when I go to a female, it comes right. Can I carry on going to the female?
This is not funny for me, right? Not funny. I went to umpteen cases like this. When a male goes to a female, the female goes to a male, and before they know it, ghusl became wajib on them. Why you rather stick the pain than sticking that stigma of haram? Rather stick that pain than going to the stigma of haram. Sometimes, you know, this voice on the Quran saying, and it's khamri wal maisir. So khamr also has got some advantages, right? Wine has got some advantages. But the Quran Sharif says, the harms are greater than the good, right? Everything Allah has created, there's good in it. But you'll weigh it now, the harms are greater or the good is greater. If the harms are greater, you know, right? Right? Now a person robs, right? So overnight he becomes a multi-millionaire. So wasn't there good in it? If he was battling, overnight he became a multi-millionaire. It wasn't good. But you know that the harms are greater than the good. So therefore you see it's haram. Finish.
A person has a modern family and they have modern weddings. If we don't go for the weddings, it will cause family problems. What should we do?
They got weddings then?
Modern weddings, yeah. And modern family programs.
I asked, many people asked them, right? Into a modern, right? And if there was a girl that was totally in a birthday suit, entertaining the crowd, will you remain there? So now I have to maintain family ties. Will you accept that? She's naked, she's dancing to the crowd. Everybody will say, no, I can't manage this. Because why? Because it's going against your reputation, against your name. And all this modernism is haram, right? This is not going against the law of Allah Ta'ala. So your reputation is so much that you can't tolerate your reputation being trampled. But the law of Allah Ta'ala being trampled, you can make up an excuse, family ties. But why the law of family ties was not applicable to this situation when she was dancing naked to the crowd? Why didn't you apply it? Is there any difference? This is the law of Allah Ta'ala, this is the law of Allah Ta'ala. You saw that wrong, you went to your class. But there, you have to put up a story of family ties.
What actions can be done to bring about ikhlas and bring love for the akhirat?
Normally we show about five things, according to what male. One is to make zikr collectively, preferable in your home, right? Inmost of the home. That must be like, nowadays, like a compulsory thing. You have to do it in the homes, right? Because that iman is just crumbling. Iman is just crumbling. The contents that they're getting in the school or through the media is just eating onto the iman. So you need some type of a defense. Come on, right? Number two is what you're reading, the content, etc., is really, really perversive, right? Very, very. So you need something to overcome that. So the two kitabs I recommend, the Fazail kitabs and Basis, must be an order in the house. The best was to leave it out. But for some reason you don't have the heart to leave it out, so this must be a compulsory thing in every home. Basis and the Fazail kitabs, right? Number three is this, that we also recite the Quran Sharif every day. In 1920-1930, there was a Sudhi movement in India, and it was like a mass movement to convert Muslims into Hinduism. But the people that were running this thing, amongst them were the English Islam, because English and American, the worst enemy is Islam. Hindu, everything, they can work with it. But Islam comes onto their way. So they saw a certain class of people are not just taking. So they had commissioned an inquiry, they found those homes, the Quran Sharif was being recited regularly, right? Recited regularly, we can't make inroads. The Quran Sharif was a defense for them. That's the third thing, right? Number four is, together with finding out from your children what's going on, if there's a thing to be rectified, correcting it, right? Because everything is happening in the school or in the public domain, but you're not finding out for the child what's going on in his life. He can't differentiate between the haram and halal. You know, nearly every day, or every second day, you get a question, my fiancé, you're going out for something, right? Or a meal. But they don't know that pre-marital is haram. They don't know about it. Right? They don't know. And they're not taking out the time to find out. Right? So, together with finding out what's going on, then plead to Allah Ta'ala, beg Allah Ta'ala. Four things that we're talking about. Then the last thing is, just watch the company and the content that you're reading.
It is mentioned that the love of Allah Ta'ala for His servants is much greater than the love of a mother for her child. The question is, how is it Allah Ta'ala will punish and burn His servants while the mother will never do that to her child?
Allah Ta'ala doesn't want to punish, right? But the person is stubborn, is a rebel, right? Right? So, when he comes to that point, then Allah Ta'ala has got nothing to do with him. And parents also, right? If the child, all right, is doing some wrong, right? But the moment he sees his mother, Ma, you're not my mother. You step with someone. Huh? You step with 100 people, right? So is that mother going to respect the child? Huh? She don't see the child. Go, get out. Go to hell. Go to hell. That's what the mother is going to see. On the lighter side, you know, the British ruled over India for approximately 200 years, right? So, the English company, very, very influential and affluent, one Muslim was working for them. So the English boss, he got angry with the Muslim staff. He says, now they say, go to hell. They go to hell. So he went, after 5 hours or something, he came back. He said, but I told you, go to hell. He said, I went there, but they told me it's only for, you know, mighty English people, not for poor people like us.
Can Hazrat please advise on ulama going for holidays where there is no fitna? At times the wife keeps asking to go for holidays.
I tell you repeatedly, we are living in an alien culture, right? We are living in an alien culture. So some things you can't cut off straight away, but gradually you have to cut it out. Understand, in all these places here, right? All these places, what is aftermath, is what is effect. Now everything is free and everything is open. Even if cannabis is open, right? So these places have been used by druggies, by algies, by atheists, by for zina. For every type of vice, this place is used. Right? So it must have its effect. See, you go to Medina Munawwara, right? The Roza Mubarak doesn't have an effect on you. You want to cry, you want to change your life, you want to correct yourself. Now you go to the dens of vices, and you see that you're not going to be affected, there's something wrong with your mind. But now some things you can't correct straight away, gradually you have to phase it out. From there, give them an option, or I go and Mastura Jamaat, never mind. You want to go out for an outing, isn't it? Go Mastura Jamaat.
There's a letter that came in that says, on behalf of many of the students and even some of the ustaz of the madrasa, it has become such that our children and our husbands can't do without their phones. And sometimes when the wives are speaking to them, they are so engrossed in their phones that they don't even listen. What advice has Mufti Sahab?
That's all finished. Four stories finished. I told you what. My roof, my rules. My roof, my rules. You're not going to allow the child to burn your house. You say, no, I can't do it now. So you allow him to burn your house. Tomorrow he brings a prostitute into your house. So now it's all right. Will you do that? Will you allow that? So the same, this phone contains the same thing, exactly the same thing. Just that it's in a dignified way. Smartphone. But what are you doing? Same zina you're doing. Zina is being done. Zina ayn and nazar. That's also a zina.
And this question here is that what was the wives do when the husbands are using the phone?
The same four advisors, you know, Talim, Zikr, Quran Sharif, etc. They must do that. And for the duration that he's doing that, they must move out, go sleep in another room. Because he's attracting the curse of Allah. لَا تَدْخُلْ مَلَائِكَةُ بَيْتًا فِيهِ سُورَةٌ. The malaika don't enter that room where there's a picture of a live thing, of an animate object. So why must the woman deprive herself? Go into the room. As long as he's involved in haram, we can go to the room.
When in Umrah, can a woman perform salah following the imam in Jamaat?
When we last found out from the imams, they don't make niyat for the woman. And according to the Hanafis, for the woman's namaz to be valid, the imam has to make niyat for them. And apart from that, Nabi Sallam himself said, وَبُيُوتُهُنَّ خَيْرٌ لَهُمْ. There's more sawab for you in your home. What are the need for you to come into the Haram Sharif and perform namaz? Your individual namaz.
How can we create love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam?
Adhering to the sunnah, reciting a lot of durood, and asking for the love of Nabi Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
I started a practice of reading Surah Ikhlas 3 times after every salah for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and 3 times for the entire ummah. Is this a good practice?
Alhamdulillah, very good. You say for the entire ummah. Al-Hari Sahib Rahmatullahi, see his mind, right? So therefore, you call him the head of this whole kafila, this whole jamaat. Buzugana Deen, Mashaykh, all Mujahid, he is the head. So he makes niyat from Adam alayhi salam till the last Muslim that will walk the surface of the earth. So anybody left out? Huh? Include everybody.
Person says that he needs to make the khidmat of his parents when they go for Hajj. They intend to go for Hajj, but he doesn't have the money. Should he take a loan, interest-free loan, and then go with his parents for Hajj?
When he doesn't have the means, then why should he put himself into difficulty? Right? Unless he's taking a loan from someone that is very understanding, and he's happy to give the loan, and says payable when able, and he means what he says. It's a different thing, otherwise why put yourself into difficulty?
What is the best way for me to improve my door and improve my Quran Sharif?
The best way I found is you have to commit yourself to one person. Some strict hafiz in that area, and you must commit yourself to him. So he's checking you, how much you learned, what's your back door like, your sabak door like, right? Which are your weak siparas, which are your strong siparas. So there must be someone that is on your case for that door to go right. But if you do it yourself, one day you're doing it, then 2 days you're not feeling well, 3rd day you have to go for a holiday, 4th day you have to go for shopping, then 6th day you'll come back again. So there'll be no consistency, and what could have taken 6 months, may not even achieve in 6 years. So you need to commit yourself to one person. The brother strict up his up, so he'll phone you, he'll jam you up, get your Quran Sharif right. Pakistan, well, you can, up till now, you get all sincere people, honest people. But he's a Sheikh ul Hadith, and he wasn't a Hafiz. So he went to the Hafiz class and told that Mullah that was teaching that I need to become Hafiz. Right? Joined the class. So now, you know, the Sheikh really is like a difficult job because now, as you finish the class, they got these questions. Sometimes the answers are delayed, right? I came with a 5 minutes delay to the Hafiz class. So the Ustaz said, see, by the rule here is anybody comes with a delay, right, he must stand up. Now the Sheikh ul Hadith, you know, no problem, that's your rule, I respect it. So in a short time, I think in about 5 months, he finished Hafiz. But then he respected the rule of the Ustaz, in 5 months, he did it.
Beloved Mukhti Sahib, I urgently need some help. I cannot stop smiling and laughing in my salah. I do not know what to do.
The simplest thing is, see, if your father died, right? Can you stop smiling and laughing? You stop smiling and laughing. So you think that you are dead. You are dead. Malaika king out your room. So that will just put us in. But a temporary solution for this, right? One friend from Johannesburg, he showed me, right? He says, look at your thumb like this. I think like this. Look at this. Or your fingernails like this. Fingernails, but look at it like this. It will stop the laughter. I don't know what's the correction, but I know I tried it a couple of times. It worked. You look at your fingernails, but in this way, reverse. You'll stop the laughter. There are some things you can't explain. You tickle someone, he'll feel ticklish, right? You tickle yourself? Huh? You feel ticklish. So some things you can't explain. You're putting surma in your eyes, right? Then you loll out your tongue. Doesn't happen? Huh? Doesn't happen. But what's the explanation? Any correction? No correction. But that's how you behave, not naturally.
So you need to tell us when you want to stop. There's too many questions here. How do we get istiqamat in amal, salah, zikr, etc.?
There's a long cut and there's a short cut. The short cut is bind yourself to one shaykh who is adhering to the sunnah. He will not be sympathetic towards you. What? You got Barak Magda, he'll tell you straight. He won't be sympathetic, tell you straight. I got a shaykh, he'll be sympathetic, no, mind, try again, all that. There's a long cut there. Right? You got someone straight, you come right very easily. Straight. And the second thing is that you need to pluck the determination yourself. See, if you need to eat, I can't eat for you. You need to administer medication, I can't do it. You need to take a rest, I can't do it. So some things you have to pluck the determination to get it right. But the easy way is just to connect yourself with some sheikh who is sunnah adhering. He's not concerned about you or your family or your wealth. You come from this family and you are this professional, whatever, you're worried about that. He's just worried about you on your case. So very rapidly, the islah is done. So now you know that this is a relationship and I have to go and report to him. Right? So he's not going to listen to any nonsense. He'll put you into your tracks.
Is it fine to underpay our workers so that we can give more charity for works of deen?
Some years back, so Al Baraka Bank, right, had a penalty for a deferred payment.
What?
Penalty for a deferred payment. So I couldn't pay you on time, so they charged you a penalty. Say it was 1,000 rand, and you couldn't pay on time, they charged you 150 rand for the delayed payment. So I objected. Although up to now there are objectionable things, but I objected that, you know, I said, hold on, maybe it's late 80s somewhere. So he said, no, we take that money, the penalty, and we use it in some charitable cause. So I told him, see, the end doesn't justify the beginning. Doing it for a charitable cause, it doesn't justify the beginning, right? And if the end had to justify the beginning, right, then I can go and rob all the people in, say, in Shlanga, rob them, say, multi-millionaire, take 10 million, and give all the people in Chatsworth and Phoenix. So, but my intention wasn't it good, to help the poor people. You got too much, you don't know what to do with the wealth, let me take your 10 million, good. Would that be right? So what's the difference? Is there any difference? Robbing is haram, and interest is even worse, because that's a curse. Right. So is it the same? So they are just using beautiful, glamorous names to justify the wrong.
What are the reasons a person finds it hard to wake up for Tahajjud Salat or Fajr Salat?
I tell the people, right, you do about four things, right? One is these doubtful areas, people, etc. You do doubtful areas, doubtful people. Areas means people, places, and content. Right? People. Don't get into unnecessary discussions, etc. Number three is see to it that after Zuhr, you refrain from anything sweet, caffeine and sweet. Because caffeine and sweet, it keeps you alert. Generally, right? Some people are that you drink tea and you still sleep. Me, if I drink coffee, at a certain time, I can't sleep. The thing that effect of it can carry on right to the end of the night. The third thing. And number four is you need to have some discipline within yourself. You must get up. If your flight is, for example, at Fajr time, then you say, I can't get up. Can you say that? Because you will discipline yourself. Now, I need to go for this flight here. Because now, I need to go for Umrah, etc. But I must take the flight. So you discipline yourself to get it right.
Is it permissible to read?
Simple thing is, but you must have a good understanding with your wife, right? Have a nice sprinkler, right? Cold ice, cold water on your side. Tell your wife, just sprinkle on me until I get up to go to the bath, until she is sprinkling. But for that, you need to have a good understanding with your family. It mustn't be now that she sprinkled water on you and he said, you see, this was the first mistake, huh? You can't have that understanding. If there's a smooth and a healthy understanding, you'll come up with a cheer. Alhamdulillah, this woman prevented me from shaitan pissing in my ears. Right? She saved me from that.
Is it permissible to read salah behind a person who appears on television?
I told that already, though. Where I explained, the person now is inviting towards wrong, right? He's inviting towards wrong. And how can he be a good person? You say, you know, come and see this shaitan box. I know right about 90s used to be a shaitanic box. Now it's an invitation to the shaitanic box. And if that picture just catches the heart, then who's going to go and obliterate that thing? Or Mustafa Rahmatullahi, someone complained to him, ulama, bahut tang nazar hai. Some ulama, they're very short-sighted, you know. They're very short-sighted. They've got no vision. So his answer was, agar ye tang nazri se, bad nazri se bad jaye, to ghanimat hai. Because of the short-sightedness, if they are saved from the major wrongs, then this is an achievement. Right? Have a big size, television, everything else, and then you get hooked up on that. What happens then? It's a disaster. It's such, you know, I can tell you very safely, at least 90% of the breakup in marriage or the rocky marriages is because of the social media. I can tell you very safely, 90%. Most of the marriages that are going on the rocks is because of this. So the man doesn't know where to stop. And the woman feels that this man is unfaithful. And then she's crying. I don't want to break up the home and I don't lose my children. So now she's forced to live there. But she's living in hell. What do I do? And the man is so ruthless, carries on. Doesn't worry about the feeling. Then you want to know after that, why my children are drugging, why they do wrong, why they don't listen to me. But who started this off? You started it off. So you must pay the brunt of it, you must catch it.
We love the Haramain Sharifain. What can we do to visit Haramain regularly and often?
I feel the most important thing in this day and age, in fact at all times, learn adab and learn taqwa. What? More than visiting the haram a million times, learn the lesson of adab and taqwa. And even if it's just once, one tawaf, one umrah, it will be greater than hundreds of tawafs and hundreds of umrah. But learn adab and learn taqwa. I didn't learn the lesson of taqwa and adab. Right? And then you go in. Then, وَمَنْ يُرِدْ فِيهِ بِالْحَادِمْ بِظُلْمٍ نُزِقْهُ مِنْ عَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. Allah wants you to respect this place. And any profanity, any perversion, Allah says, will make him taste of a grievous punishment. When you receive, so learn the lessons of taqwa and adab, and then go. If you learnt it, then inshallah you'll be safe. But if you didn't learn adab, you didn't learn taqwa, I made Umar Akim. Then come close to the friend, give zamzam and kajur, I mean. Then it just becomes a formality. There's no life. So what Allah wants is to bring life. One child, he's asking for money all the time. So the father cautioned him, it's not a good habit. Mustn't do all these things, mustn't ask for money. Small child, about 6-7 years of age. So the child put his hand in his ears, Toba, 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 I won't ask for money again. Not even half an hour passed, Abba, I made Toba now, give me money now. I made Toba, I give it. So what's that? He's just going through the motion. It's just a formal Toba. There's no remorse in the heart. So the heart, may you azim sha'air Allah, fa inna min taqwa al qulub. So it's all these Hajj ayats. You have to respect these places here. No matter who's doing what, but your duty is to respect and to learn the adab to go to this place. One person now is in Medina Munawara, and he says, Hamari yahaan ki dahi, yahaan ki dahi se behtar hai. The yogurt in our town is better than the yogurt in Medina. Nabi Sun come in his dream. Alright, if that's the case, then you gotta go home. See that? How Nabi Sun must have taken it. Have you hurt his heart or not? By making this type of statements. So we don't consider this adab and taqwa as serious things. Just go to this place and come back. Like a breeze in the park. So is that Medina? Is that Makkah Mukarram? You know, I can remember people going to Hajj from 62, 63, right? But nearly everybody that I saw coming back from Hajj was a changed person. They had beard, kept a beard. Wasn't in Tahajjud, became Tahajjud. Wasn't doing Namaz with Jamaat, Shafi'i Namaz Jamaat, right? So nearly every person that went at that time changed his life. Right? Now I ask you, people go for no change in their lives. I just said, poor Jamaat people now, they go and make gashia, take the person out, etc., etc., get some direction in the person's life. But people are not concerned about improving themselves. The idea to go there is learn adab, learn taqwa, and then go, then you see a marked difference in your Hajj or Umrah, whatever.
Can I let my children read novels to improve their English?
I just have to answer your answer, right? See, there's good and there's evil. But in most of these things here, the evil overwhelms the good. So the same law, ismuhuma akbaru min naf'ihima. Same law, where the evil consequence can be worse. So you don't allow it, right? The evil consequence can be worse, right? Like I say, right, you're not a master swimmer. But you know, if you get, if you come out first, you're going to get ₹1,000,000. Would you risk your life? Although there is an advantage, but the harms are greater. When the harms are greater, you're not going to risk yourself.
My father wants me to do mutsik and I want to become an alim. What is the most advice for this?
Yeah, I gave the answer a lot of times, right? We don't understand the danger of a doubtful thing, right? Doubtful answer. I got a bowl of chocolates, you know, 8 glass chocolates. Expensive, you know, each one is about 15, 20 rands. So I got a box of chocolates, 500. But someone that is very, very irreliable, right? Irreliable, not a reliable person. He tells me, but from this 500, one can be poisonous. One can be poisonous. I say, will you risk yourself? So what's the difference between this and school? Here you're risking your iman. Here you're risking your life. So what's more important? Iman is more important. The proof that iman is more important than life, those sorcerers, right, they were threatened by Fir'aun, لَوْسَلِّبَنَّكُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ, right, لَوْسَلِّبَنَّكُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ, right, I'll put you onto the trunks and I'll crucify you. So what was their answer? La dhaif, no problem, one way or the other, we are going to return to Allah Ta'ala, but we are not going to give up our faith. So what was more important in their eyes? Their life or the iman? And strangely, the Arabs are asking me this question here. What's more important, iman or your physical well-being? So, yeah, it really shook me up. I feel like crying, you know. An Arab, and how can you ask these type of questions? When this comment was going on, the saving was being discussed. What's more important, iman or saving a life? So this is given clearly in the Quran, La Zair. No problem, you can kill us. We're not give it up.
A person says that I'm raised in a family of disbelievers, but I am practicing upon deen. They are not happy with me and my decision. They don't give me any support. What should I do?
When you got the support of Allah Ta'ala, what else you need? Ni'mal Mawla wa Ni'mal Nasir. He's the best support. Is there anything better? So long train and think about this. That's why I say, do this for Zayat Kitabs. And you'll see the story of Bilal Radi Allahu Anhu, what he didn't go through, right? Mus'ab ibn, what is his name? Umayr. Yeah? What he didn't go through? Back, taken, clothes taken away, thrown out of the house. So that's why you need to read this Kitabs, and not just as a part-time, not as a sleeping tablet. You read a Kitab, or a sleeping tablet. Not like that. Do it diligently.
Any du'as to help me from the whisperings of shaitan?
There's few things, right? I think two things I mentioned. Leave out all doubtful people. Content, right? Number three is doubtful food. What? Doubtful food. And areas. Number five is, after all this, ask Allah Ta'ala's protection. You can read, وَالْأَوَّلُ وَالْآخِرَةُ all that to be very effective. Hadith also speaks about it. And thereafter, just ignore it. But now this whispers, the whisper itself is what I said. If someone comes to a doctor and tells him, you know, I walk in the sun and I perspire. So, what will the doctor tell him? See? You have to perspire, it's normal. It's normal. Is it an abnormal thing or is it a normal thing? It's a normal thing. So, whispers also is a normal thing. Right? It's a normal thing. So no, I don't pay attention. No guna for that. What a Muslim must be worried about, is it amounting to a sin or not? If it's a sin, definitely I must take all the precaution. But it's not a sin, just disregard it.
Can I close my eyes in salah for concentration?
The sunnah is not to close the eye. Many times I close my eyes because my age, and the doctor says I've got a cataract. So the Muslim must come for an operation of that. I said, just delay that thing. We'll see about the whole thing, right? Because I don't want to go for this thing, see what happens. So if I just keep my eyes open, in the bright lights and I get a pain. So just to avoid the pain, I close my eyes sometimes in namaz, sometimes. But a normal person, then the sunnah is to keep the eyes open. The hadith of Rahmatullahi is one murid of Pathan, very pious, right? And he heard the hadith about performing the namaz with khushu and how Allah will forgive, etc., right? So a lot of khushu, he performed the namaz, closed his eyes, concentration. I asked Allah Ta'ala, show me the reward for this. So he saw a hoor, too beautiful, everything excellent. But when he saw carefully, he saw that she was blind. So he asked Hadith Abraham Tari, and this is what happened. So Hadith Abraham, shayad tum aankh band karke namaz padte ho. Perhaps you're closing your eyes and performing the namaz. Although it's for concentration, but sunnat kya hai? Aankh khol karte.
What is the fastest way to discipline one's nafs?
Stop it. وَلَهَا النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ. Stop it. On its track, stop it. It wants to look at the haram, stop it. Allah gave you two shutters, right? Just put the shutter down straight away. This is the only muskil ki baat hai. A muskil baat hai. The other things that you can use as a support, right? Yusuf alayhi salam, when he's trapped, right? So the support Allah gave him, according to the tafsir, right? But he saw his father, Yaqub alayhi salam. What are you doing? So you imagine your father dead now, right? I say, what are you doing? So that you just move your mind away. Or someone you hold in respect, esteem, and he's doing this. What are you doing? What are you up to? So you just change your mind, comes right. So when han nafsa ani hawa, they say there's just two steps to Jannah. One step is on your nafs, and the next step in Jannah. What? So for Jannah also must be a price. Sila Allahi ghaliya. It's the commodity of Allah Ta'ala. It's not a cheap commodity, it's an expensive commodity. You think Jannah, a small little topi now, small baghez mari you have to make to get that topi, right? Now you're asking for Jannah and you don't want to even smash your nafs. You don't want to smash your nafs. How are you going to land in Jannah?
In a certain girls' madrasa, one of the lessons entails giving them a hadith and asking them to extract 10 lessons from the hadith. Is this something safe?
See, to extract lessons, right, you need to have that type of understanding of hadith. Right? And you don't have that volume of understanding, then you can come onto the wrong conclusions. Right? You can make your own interpretation and arrive at the wrong conclusions. So to come to conclusions, then you need to have the treasure of hadith, understanding, and then arrive. There are major blunders, right? People are trying to work out their own things in hadith. So one person, whenever he goes to the toilet, then he makes witr namaz. Okay, so one person trying, I saw a lot of things in the world, but I haven't seen this, that you're going to the toilet, and making witr namaz after that. So now comes the hadith. Manish touch mara fal yutir. Will make istinja, he will do witr. That's the literal translation. But now all this thing comes when you are unsupervised, right? Witr actually means odd, what? Odd. So when you're making istinja, then clean yourself in odd numbers. Now see, he didn't have a guide guiding him. Where he took him? See? He mixed up the whole hadith. So if you got that volume of understanding, and then you are taking out the lessons, you are going right. But you don't have it, then see, I don't have it. Don't pretend to know what you don't know. Why must you pretend? Ma'ana minal mutakallifin. It's the problem in this day. Nabi Sama asked, which is the best spot on the face of the earth? I don't know it. He asked Jibreel, Jibreel says, I know it also. But what a beautiful lesson the Muslim is teaching us. I don't know it. Class, I know the story.
Is it permissible to use live bait for fishing?
لا تتخذوا غردا حيا غردا. What? So, something that is life, right? something in his life, then you don't practice your hunting, etc., with something that is life. So don't use something that is life. Now, what type of torture this thing is going to go through is hooked up and seeing sharks, etc. Aren't you putting it to the trauma? Huh? So you're just worried about the fish that you catch. But the trauma that you're putting this bait into, is that right?
Is it better to make zikr individually or collectively? As some mashayikh encourage also collective zikr.
When a person remembers Allah Ta'ala alone, Allah Ta'ala remembers him alone. He remembers Allah Ta'ala in a gathering, then Allah Ta'ala remembers him in a gathering that is better than his gathering. That is the gathering of the malaika. Right? So, collective zikr is also supported. But Allama Shatibi, he says, to make zikr in chorus, awaz se awaz mila karke, then he says that's wrong, incorrect. Sometimes you do this type of things to start the person off. Starting the person off is different. Like how in the maktab, ustad has to teach the children, right? So, all read Alhamdulillah, so all read in one voice Alhamdulillah. So that was teaching, right? So, that teaching mustn't be the whole life now. Whole life, that lesson hasn't yet ended. So, one or two times you just stop the person after they must do, each one does himself. Otherwise, you're defeating the purpose of zikr. Because the purpose of zikr was to conscientize you and remind you of Allah Ta'ala, right? But if you're reading in chorus, what's going to happen? You're going to be concerned that am I in line with the chorus or am I breaking away? So your mind be deeply absorbed with Allah Ta'ala or with the party and the chorus. So you're defeating the first problem.
And Alim is living in a small town and they need a mayor. They want to make him the mayor. Should he accept it?
I don't know of a country in this world besides Afghanistan perhaps, right? That's absolutely straight. Everything works with sea rights. Everything works with sea rights. So, when there's so much of sea rights going on, corruption going on, so how can I tell you? You think for yourself now, so much of wrong going on. I look at it internationally, whether it's Trump or whoever, but I ask you, you look at the secret, the private lives, were they involved in something or not? They don't just post you into that position. First involved in something, then you post it. Then they manipulate you after that. So now how to say the person is going to it? We're not saying it's haram, but how can we say that person is going to it? Randomly.
The gist of most of the questions have been covered. There's one more question that came a few times here. Person says that he doesn't have a good memory and he has a low self-esteem. Should he still do hifz?
No. What he must do is improve on the recitation. Right? Improve on the recitation. So, if he's going to improve on the recitation, at least he'll do some khatam. Recitation is right. He'll do some khatam, right? And then, in his own time, what surahs he can learn, surahs are recited daily, learn those surahs, slowly. There was one student here, Zakaria Kadwa, right? I think he had finished about 13 or 18 sipara and he passed away. Accidents or whatever, he passed away. So I had to console the family that if a person is doing something right, learning, right? وَمَنْ يَخْرُجْ مِنْ بَيْتِهِ مُعَاجِنًا إِلَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ ثُمَّ يُدْرِكُ الْمَوْتِ وَقَدْ وَقَعَ أَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. Came out with the right reasons, right? And then, whilst you are in the right, whilst you're working towards the right, and you passed away, then فَقَدْ وَقَى أَجْرُ, his sawab is confirmed. His sawab is not confirmed. His confirmed. So I gave them the consolement. After some days, someone saw a dream that he's completed his hifz. See that? So if you come out with the right intention, right? Now the brother passed away in Jamaat, right? Came out with the right intention. even if we didn't complete the time, Allah Pak's treasure is so wide, his generosity is so great, that he'll count you amongst the people that completed the time.
One more question, inshallah. The brother says that I got a lot of shock for tabligh and I'm a student. How can I participate in tabligh?
See, both are required, right? One is a factory, right? What the factory does, it produces. Right? Soap, what the factory will do? Produce. So the madrasa will produce the product. Right? And then the factory has to have some marketing personnel, right? Will go and market the product. Right? So if the niyat is right, then you'll get the sawab for the tabligh as well. Because you are producing it, and then you're giving it to the next person to market it. So, don't both the people receive the sawab, right? In an istima site, right? Is everybody giving the bayan? One person giving the bayan. Someone is paramedic, someone is road security, right? But the sawab, inshallah, according to the sincerity, everybody will get the same sawab. Whether the one is peeling the potato, or whether the person is giving the bayan. Sincerity is very great, the sawab will be. So one is manufacturing the product, and one is marketing the product. So tabligh jamaat is marketing the product. So madrasa is manufacturing the product. If there wasn't a madrasa, then would they be able to do the 6 points correctly? Will they know the boundaries? No, they can't. So they have to market the product, and then they have to produce the product, and they have to market the product.
I think the last one, inshallah, to finish off on the lighter note, this student is asking, what dua can we read to change Talimuddin in Zuhur time from 1:15 to 1:30?
So I want to read a dua that from 1:15 we make the namaz to 1:45. Let's have a vote. 1:45 or 1:00? Let's see both, right? So, your dua, my dua. Right? Okay, I'll make it to 1:45, inshallah. Inshallah, go.
But inshallah, the Subah Sadiq is 3:43. There's some refreshments now and try and sleep early, inshallah. Wake up with Tahajjud Zikr. Tomorrow after Fajr program will be at the Jamia Masjid on the top. And day after the Bukhari Dars will take place here in this Masjid, inshallah. Jazakallah. سبحان الله بحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله